It's time to walk on.
Walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on.
The Potakin Center for Contemplative Walking is breaking new trails in the exploration of walking as a contemplative activity. Our Walk On podcasts introduce the people who are leading this exploration and the people who are doing contemplative walking themselves.
Walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on.
Welcome to another Walk On podcast. In this episode, Enen Ray Parcello explains what contemplative walking is. He introduces the Potakin Center and our four themes of inquiry. Walking in contemplation. Shakyamuni, the historical Buddha, did not have a chauffeur or a private jet. When sutras say, when the Buddha was in, we can be quite sure he walked there from somewhere and would walk away from there too. For every teacher in East Asia, Bodhidharma, Chi-Yi, Dogen, Milarepa, and thousands more unnamed Dharma masters, the only possible way to get from A to B was on foot. No doubt the occasional cart, wagon, or muleback was available, but the norm was pedestrian. If we're able to imagine the Buddhist Sangha, until recent centuries, in every country they dwelt, we must see them as routinely walking. Little wonder the early symbol of Shakyamuni was his potakun, his footprint. It also followed that this pedestrian monastic lifestyle became blended in with their practice experience. The most common example of this is what we know now as alms rounds. This daily regimen has long lines of monks walking, bowls in hand, into neighboring villages to recite sutra for lay people and receive offerings of appreciation. Villagers demonstrate their respect for this daily lesson by sharing food with monks. This image of monks is amongst our most familiar images of a Buddhist monk. In many traditions, walking became a separate practice, which counterpointed extended sitting periods. In Japanese Dharma, for example, this is called kinhin, just walking. Unlike alms rounds, this has practitioners walking slowly, for the most part, and silently in a circular, square, or linear pattern, continuing the contemplative activity. In some contexts, walking is accompanied by recitation, silent or spoken. Some temples constructed specific walkways dedicated to such practices. As someone introduced to formal walking practice early in my practice career, I was familiar with the back and forth between sitting and walking. I was similar to many practitioners who saw walking as a break from my sitting, a way to stretch aching muscles in preparation for a return to real practice on the mat. As my practice grew and as I tried to bring my contemplative activity to my preferred recreational activity, hiking, questions emerged for me. How do I practice off the mat? What is the relationship between walking and sitting practice? Is it legitimate to bring my meditative action onto the trail? How might I practice on the trail? How have Buddhists done this previously? Here, I want to share my path into what we call contemplative walking, especially as it occurs within Buddhist practice. That term, contemplative walking, is admittedly somewhat imprecise for now, since we have only coined it recently. Contemplative walking is not a product, a brand name, or a website, nor is it a single practice found in just one spiritual tradition. It's the multi-faith expression of our deep human desires for personal meaning, religious practice form, connection with the natural world, and spiritual searching using various forms of ordinary human walking. It is in all traditions and is as old as religions. With walking practice, as with any contemplative act, there is no textbook or instruction manual. It's not a matter of learning a set of rote instructions. We all already know how to walk. That's not the issue. Contemplative walking demands an ongoing experience of our environment and a negotiation with it. It does not seize, capture, or contain the space of walking. We cannot abstract where we walk. Walking requires a relationship between us and the space of our walking, and that space informs how we know ourselves. We know ourselves as part of the walking experience, that movement of the body through a space with or without other beings. Walking like a mountain. Contemplation has long been associated with static or seated postures in isolated locations, mirrored in images like the seated Buddha or Rodin's Thinker sculpture. In spite of the long historical association of contemplation and walking, the history of contemplation has favored particular low mobility forms of reflection, a limited relationship with the physical body and the environment of the contemplative act. Walk Like a Mountain, the Handbook of Buddhist Walking Practices, set out a new field of inquiry, contemplative walking. There are multiple forms of Buddhist walking practice, and Walk Like a Mountain demonstrates that walking-based practice has a long and respected place in virtually all Dharma traditions. We have already met alms rounds and kinhin above. Other widely used practices include walking recitation, employing favored sutra like the Lotus Sutra or Heart Sutra, or extended recitations of mantra, especially the Nembutsu, Om Namo Amida Butsu. Walking recitation is used within temple or monastery services. It can also appear as a longer retreat format called Jogyo Zanmai, which requires the retreatant to practice walking recitation nonstop for the duration of a retreat, even as long as a week. Within Buddha Dharma, and in fact within all world religions, the most recognizable and popular of walking practices is the pilgrimage. Every Asian Buddhist country has many versions. So far, there are no established Buddhist pilgrimages in North or South America or Europe. Many Western sanghas do long pilgrimage-like walks, but there is nothing to match the classic pilgrimages we see on the Japanese Shikoku or India's Bodh Gaya, or the legendary multi-faith set of routes ending in the Santiago de Compostela in Spain. Perhaps the most awe-inspiring Buddhist walking practice is that known in Japan, especially Tendaishu, as Kaihogyo. Very few people are authorized to do this practice, and it has a variety of contexts and forms, all a variation on lengthy daily walks up and down the slopes of Mount Hiei, combined with specific ritual acts en route. The walk is treacherous and is repeated dozens or even hundreds of days in a row. Walking and practice. We could content ourselves by making a strong case for a more prominent place for walking in a tree, as has been done, or hierarchy of contemplative practices. However, this is not my point. I'm not simply looking to increase the variety of contemplative practices available to practitioners. Instead, I am proposing that the embodied form of walking practices contributes a unique dimension to contemplation itself. One of experiencing what Buddhist walking proponent Thich Nhat Hanh calls interbeing. This term describes a combination of the blander term interconnection and the more familiar but provocative Buddhist one, interpenetration. This challenges dualistic tendencies in contemplative practice, which may prompt us to play the role of a contemplating subject, reflecting on an exterior or even abstract or ideal contemplative object. Walking practices embed us in the environment of our bodily experience and require an alertness and sensitivity to that. It is this set of insights and questions, and many more, which became the genesis for the 2016 founding of the Potokan Center for Contemplative Walking. Potokan asserts that contemplative walking connects us with our experienced external realms and requires that our contemplative process be grounded in our physical experience and interactive and negotiative with the physical space and other being of our contemplation. It proposes that contemplation in motion, such as walking, allows us to discover meaning in and through our experienced and embodied practices and not be imposed on them. Podakon proposes that we go beyond merely accepting walking practices in a collection of contemplative acts, but recognize that walking and most other forms of contemplation and movement are a necessary complement to any sedentary or stationary forms of contemplation. This is not to dismiss, disenfranchise, or diminish more sedentary forms of contemplation. The value of such practice has been firmly established across history, cultures, and all religions. Rather, we suggest a necessary complementarity between practices of movement, especially walking, and those which emphasize a stationary site. In the simplest way, walking practices are characterized by heightened externality. We must be attentive to what is happening outside of our own bodies. We must attend to the space of the practice as much as attending to the inner world. However, this is more than proposing that sedentary practices are primarily internal, while movement practices may be external in focus. Movement practices, like walking, go beyond any inside-outside dichotomy to locate our full experience of self in the larger context of our world. As we know, our practice boundaries of self, other, environment are plastic and situational. To repeat, walking practices bring us to experiences of interbeing, because we have to interbe to perform these practices. They are by necessity dialogic, interactive, and negotiative. The complement is that walking practices ensure we experience and confirm our location in a living world in ways that sedentary practices may not. Contemplative walking practices embed us in the world, fostering ways in which the world informs and defines us. After several years of reflecting on these ideas, I recall my conclusion in Walk Like a Mountain. I found I was walking on barely touched ground. Those who want to undertake walking as a psycho-spiritual endeavor have a thin library to read from. Those who want to take a more critical look at walking within the behavioral sciences have an even thinner one. And yet, the spiritually inclined of most faith traditions have turned to the road for their experiences for centuries. There is now an opportunity for those engaged in research, promotion, and development of pilgrimage, labyrinth, kinhin, prayer walking, and so on, to consider the commonality of these practices and work collaboratively on this topic and practice. I am convinced there currently exists sufficient interested academics and practitioners that forming such a collective endeavor is feasible. I further suspect there is a desire and a will to reach out to each other, to join each other on this trail and see where it may take us. Walking as a deeply physical, individual, and personal experience offers a rich opportunity for us as religious beings to connect with our experience in nature. Unlike a majority of spiritual or institutional experiences, walking ensures our experiences of the transcendent remain grounded in the most concrete dimensions of our physical world. To delve into these possibilities, the Podakon Center explores contemplative walking through theory building. Our book, Walk Like a Mountain, introduced the field of contemplative walking and proposed a study agenda. We seek to survey and synthesize ideas from cognitive science, the sociology of place, Asian body-mind theory, psychogeography, and teaching from world religions into a comprehensive theoretical starting point. Sharing experience. We are exploring historical and current records through document research and live conversations to report what contemplative walking means to walkers. Further, This suggests that walking is itself the creation of a personal narrative, and Podikon will illuminate this. Our new journal of contemplative walking called Footprint will engage peers in building a collection of new writing focused on telling the stories of walkers. We will develop audio and video resources that express these experiences. Cultivating forms. Just as stationary contemplation is aided by structured practices such as Zazen or Pranayama, we are documenting and sharing walking forms through workshops, media resources, training programs, and manuals. Facilitating action. Just as Buddhist tradition relies on a balance of wisdom, practice, action, we contend that contemplation is not the ultimate purpose of practice, but rather finds its true fulfillment in social expression and action. We strive to examine how this can happen through individual and group walking, and to articulate the means whereby this can occur. At Podikon, we seek peers and collaborators who can formulate the means of transforming the walking experience into both contemplative and social action. We invite all walkers to connect with us, to share and learn. We are at www.podikon.com. We invite you to come and visit our site and to join us in this very exciting new endeavor. For the Podikon Center, this is Enan Ray Parcello.
You've been listening to another Walk On podcast presented by the Podikon Center for Contemplative Walking. Check out our growing library of videos and podcasts, enjoy our Tumblr photo essays, and visit our Facebook page. All those links can be found on our website at podikon.com. If you have a walking story to share, let us know. We'd love to hear about your experience. I'm Enan Ray Parcello. Thanks for listening and walk on.